Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I can't hear myself. I'm a bit deaf. I think what's happened, God has already been speaking through people who've got up, and I always feel that he speaks through the music. It doesn't always work for us because we don't listen, as Sue said. Listening is a key to hearing God. I want to talk about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read a small section of the Creed, the Nicene Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. That's where I'm going. This is a massive subject that I hope I can do it some justice, but it's just scratching the surface. But I'll do my best, and with God's help. Remember the words, the Lord and giver of life, because wherever we come from, different setups and whatnot, we don't always know or recognise that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. I think it's important to keep that phraseology in mind. Who gave that title to him? I'm a type of person what would ask God questions. Who gave it? Well, if you look at John 6:63... he answers the disciples and says, it is the Spirit that gives life. Now, isn't it wonderful that? Because the Trinity always works together closely. And you know, in 1610, the pastor of Old St. Paul's started with this: batter my heart, thrice holy God. I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant. And he was into the Trinity. He was also a poet, the guy. I know, because I was there at the time. 1610. What I'd like to do is, I'm going to look at just five aspects. Five propositions, if you like. Where's Dave? I beat Dave by one. I got 13 aspects, and how many A4s it were. We should be here for a fortnight if I'd have brought that along. And Pauline says straight away, "You're not going to do that, are you?" I said, "Well, I'll be all right teaching at uni somewhere for about 3 hours." So I've whittled it down to just five. Number one, can you put that? It's up, is it? I need some eyes in the back of my head. Regeneration, new life, newness of life. Adoption, stroke, sealer. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Listening to his voice. He has a voice. And being taught by him, the Holy Spirit as teacher. In this introduction, the importance of the Holy Spirit in Scripture and in our lives particularly. Without the Holy Spirit, none of us would be here today. You know that? You realise it? Let us look how the Holy Spirit gives life to the believer. He's mentioned in Scripture 85 times in the Old Testament and 241 times in the New Testament, giving a total of 326 times from Genesis to Revelation. How about that then? Is it important? I think that's a witness to those statistics that he is important and we have to give him his due. Up to 1900, the Holy Spirit had almost been put on the back burner by the churches throughout the world. And in 1904, in California, some Pentecostal people got together, and there was a terrific revival there. And they brought new things, and especially bringing back the Holy Spirit, which we now call charismatic people, which we benefit. Personal testimony here. Before I became a Christian over 50 years ago, I had no understanding of God, Jesus, or the need to be saved from anything. I thought because we lived in a Christian country, I was a Christian. I soon found out I wasn't, because I met people who were real Christians. Pauline was working in a coffee bar, evangelical coffee bar, and I was a visitor that night. We were hitting the town. I was dressed in a three-piece suit of mohair gold. And we walked in, and everybody went, because they were all dressed in T-shirts and slacks and goodness knows what. But you know what? What attracted me is working behind the bar was up to 12 denominational people who all gelled together to man this coffee bar. They were terrific days for me. I really enjoyed going there and meeting people. So when we went to a table, my mate and I, and sat there, suddenly there was a deluge of all these women. And I said to Alan, I'm coming here again. They weren't used to people being dressed up at nines. Maybe it was formal, I don't know. But yes, it was through that. You know what hit me then? It was a sense of the love for one another from people who came from different backgrounds. One was a doctor working behind the bar. Another guy was a labourer. All kinds of people. And it was the love between them that impressed on my heart that, aye, something's going on here I don't know about. And it was. And it was through that, and cut a long story short, Pauline took me to a Pentecostal church for 6 weeks. And every week he gave an evangelical message and asked people to come forward, as we sometimes do. And you know what? I think my feet were glued to the floor. I sort of half got up each time to respond, but I just couldn't do it. Anyhow, the minister said, just put your hand up if you want to get saved. And I went, nobody's looking. And I got this tap on the shoulder. And it was an elder from the church, and he said, I think you need to go into the vestry with a minister. And I did. I signed on dotted line, this day I have met the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was end at sixes I got saved. I remembered that. It was important. I kept it in my Bible for years. I've still got it. It's 55 years now. I'm not going to live for another 55. I'm probably going to a better place. But there it is. It was impressed by their love. I read the scripture in Ephesians 2:1. As for you, and I felt it pointed to me. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, past tense. Thank God it was in the past. Through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, I recognize my condition and my need for a rescue package. I experience the work of regeneration, new life, in my own life as a seed, still growing, maturing. But the Spirit of God is the seed and is thus sown, and the divine nature springs up as a result. In John 3, verse 4, Jesus Christ's conversation with Nicodemus, one of the Sanhedrin, the ruling ruling committee in Jerusalem for religion and Judaism. How can someone be born when they're old? Nicodemus. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, verse 5 and 6. Very truly, it's important the words truly, truly, or very, very, depending on your translation, that Jesus always said something that was coming was very important. And he says this, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. No matter how we cultivate, educate the flesh, it remains the same. It is spirit, capital S, to our spirit, that we get converted and are born again. The flesh doesn't do anything. It's impossible for it to come with spiritual things. We must be born again by the Holy Spirit. This has to take place if regeneration, new life, is to be experienced. Number two, adoption sealer. When we become Christians, we become children, become God's children, adopted into his family. Adoption, meaning to take by choice someone into their family who was born to other parents as one's own child. Now, the day of my conversion, that evening, quite late, around 12 o'clock, I was just dozing off and I heard this voice, audible, and I sat up, bolt upright. I knew there was somebody in the room. It was quite a shock, actually. I heard this voice say, I, God, I'm going to be your father now. I knew, or he knew, that my earthly father died at 34. He had multiple sclerosis and pneumonia, which came upon him and killed him. And God said, I'm going to take place of that. I'm personally going to be your father. And from that time, when I heard that voice say that, it stamped something on my heart. And I was absolutely full of gratitude, you know, and it was quite a shock to me that. But I never forgot it, and it's a long time ago now. God is my Father. Can you say that? In Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit we are children of God. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. What a privilege. Do you feel privileged being a Christian? Because I do. Of what God has done and transformed us, turned us round completely. He's given us so much. We used to sing the awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, etc. And for a long time, it really struck me. These songs are tremendous. They have tremendous, they speak to you. I can't describe it any other way. I was at a stage now I could call God Abba Father, Dad, as we sense our belonging to God's family. The sealer, Ephesians 1:13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The seal is the Holy Spirit, who is also our guarantor. He's our guarantee and our guarantor. This is guaranteed that God brings us to our full inheritance, our full redemption on that day. All creation in Romans is groaning. What to see? Dr. Lloyd Martin Jones gave an illustration that all creation was on tiptoe trying to look over this garden wall. What for? For the sons and daughters of the living God could come into their own, into full redemption. You look round about creation. Creation fell. When Adam and Eve fell, creation began to decay. And it's still in bondage. That's what the scripture says. But it'll be freed on that day when Christ returns, when he's coming on clouds with his people. Indwelling. The Holy Spirit living inside us. Where does he live? I've often asked people, young Christians, and said to them, where is your spirit? What? I don't know. And I said, it's deep within the deepest part of your being. The Holy Spirit resides outside of that and sets alight your spirit. Easiest way to explain it to a young believer. The seal. You know what a seal is. Haven't you ever seen these great big rings that kings have with their impression, usually the head of a king, and they used to seal documents. We used to brand cattle and slaves and sealed the ownership would be that I own you. Thank God it's God what owns us and not man. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. I would put in there the ultimate price because he gave his life and blood for you and me. I'm eternally grateful. Eternally grateful. And so we should be. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. You look around in the world, our people treat their bodies with drugs, all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. And they have no honour for their own bodies. They're not temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wouldn't live there. It's not fit for him. It's not fit for us either. Because the Spirit dwells in our innermost being, we are then independent of our environment and the world's principles. We can stand outside the world's principle. Look at Gaza at the moment. Another 7 killed near the hospital. Yemen, all trashed, smashed to pieces. Syria, we never hear of it. Another town, smashed to pieces. It's a living hell. And actually, I was always a Jewish supporter. But you know what? They've got to call that off. And otherwise God will have to step in here. Biden's putting pressure on them not to send any more arms and one thing and another. But it's heartbreaking. I could weep sometimes. In fact, I dread switching news on and see what's happening. But you do, just to keep in touch. I feel for those people. It matters little whether we have health or sickness, prosperity or adversity. Our source of joy is within, and it's ever springing up. We have that well within us. This is how we should be, but how is it in reality? Whoa. Personal story here. 6 months ago, the news, I was talking to a consultant at the Spire. He said to me, you need a triple bypass. I said, what? I was absolutely gobsmacked. He could have knocked me over with a feather. I'd never been ill like that. I kept a decent diet. I exercised 3 times a week for 65 years. And I said to this guy, where's this come from? He said, it's hereditary. I said, my mother lived to be 90. I know she deteriorated in the end. I said, but we've never had this sort of thing in the family. And he said, they've always got an answer, consultants, you know. That's why you go and consult them. Do you know what he said? Oh, well, it can skip a generation. And I said to him, point blank, you've got an answer for everything here, haven't you? Anyhow, he said, if you don't have this, you'll probably have a major stroke. He said, the National Health is 6 months to a year to wait. You haven't got that time, pal. So I thought, my goodness me, what am I doing here? It was absolutely news that I couldn't understand. I was in the tiswas. I couldn't believe it. And the first thing came to mind, where's God in this? Where is he? Well, at that time, did I feel the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And at that exact time, no, I didn't, because I weren't thinking about that. Not exact time, but something began to happen in me. And inwardly, I know the Holy Spirit sustained me, even through this news. However confused I felt, and after all, folks, one of his names is Comforter, Counselor. John 14:16-26, John 15:26, John 16:7 refers to the Holy Spirit and literally means to come alongside of you or to come alongside for help. Soon as I knew that, I felt at peace and I went on the trolley to the theatre. And I know they weren't showing Mickey Mouse either, to face surgery, major surgery. I've since begun to feel a lot better, but it's taken 6 months. The aftermath has been probably worse than the actual operation. Because this guy was honest, and I was honest with him. He said to me, no, John, there'll be days that you feel like weeping. I said, will there? He said, just weep. It's no shame. Because the mood swings came in. Da, 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 dee, like this. I've never been used to mood swings in 80 years. And I thought this was a different dance. And anyone who suffers from depression, I know there are some folks here, it just comes on you. And I couldn't do anything about it. And then through the day, it cleared off as quickly as it came. And I had up days where I felt great and I could go out and walk. And other days, I felt as though I'd got diver's boots on and walking up the road like this. And I thought, if somebody sees me, they'll start laughing. But that's how it was. But I am getting better. At that time, I had a picture, a vision. You know when you say sitting garden, you might be a sunbather, I don't know, and you can see the sun shining. And then suddenly from nowhere, a cloud comes, cloud banner, and you think, oh, it's gone. But actually the sun is still there, even though you can't see it. The Son of God is like that, S-O-N, not S-U-N. That sometimes I can't see him, but he's ever present. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And I thought, yeah, that's it. I don't really have to visualise it. It's still here. Trust it will take you through, and I am proof standing here today. Whatever is wrong with you or whatever task you're going through, call upon the Holy Spirit. Invoke the Holy Spirit. Simply means, oh, by the way, it wasn't John Wimber what invented that phraseology, come Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. It's been around for more than 1,000 years. It's attributed to a 9th-century German monk who wrote a hymn with come Holy Spirit in it. And his practice, he became an archbishop, a scholar, and they canonized him, a saint. And he was one man in history that started that. The early church, if you go back to the early apostolic fathers, Tertullian, and people like that, you'll find that they invoke the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity was not neglected, as it's been in times till we had a revival in the 16th century with Martin Luther. He discovered justification by faith. I'm going to give you a few examples because it's bound in Scripture. In Acts 13, 1-3, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. While they were worshipping, I've put twice in these notes that worshipping for me, and it should be for you, is of key. Things have happened to me by the Holy Spirit when I've been worshipping. 9 out of 10 incidents was when I was worshipping. And it's that worshipping because it takes you to the heights. It draws you closer to God. And when you're giving him thanks, he's an awesome God that comes. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, here's the voice. The Holy Spirit said, set apart me from me, Barnabas and Saul. Saul, it was still, Paul was still called Saul at that time. Changed his name to Paul, Paulus, which is a Roman name. For the work to which I have called them. They laid hands on them and sent them off as missionaries. Hebrews 3:7. So, as the Holy Spirit says today, you know, I'm checking that. Today's the day, and it's not when the teddy bears have the picnics. There's not a lot of people here today. I don't care. Quite frankly, you're the people what God wants to speak to. And if anybody's not turned up and can't be bothered, well, that's up to them. But you are the few, and sometimes God chooses a few people instead of this massive, you know, this 20,000 in our church in America. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, how about listening from Sue? If we don't listen, then we're not going to hear his voice. Do not, if we don't listen, we'll harden our hearts. Do not harden your hearts, a warning, as you did in the rebellion. 99% of them died in the desert. Several families got into the promised land. They, Israel, could not enter the promised land because of unbelief. They did not unite or mix the instructions with faith. You know, we have to combine faith. When we say, I believe, that's a branch of faith, I believe. There's that old song, you probably don't know it, about 80 years ago. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. You know, it's a lovely song and the wording's very good. When I first became a Christian, I had a thirst to read the scriptures and to understand what they meant. I pursued truth and sat under mature teachers and preachers who encouraged me and built me up. I began to understand how God speaks through the Christian, through the scriptures. God began to speak to me personally, as well as for guidance, encouragement, specific words for the church. I had a lot of dreams that came from God, especially in India, pictures, and also nature, cloud formations. I went out in the garden 3 times, and each time, when the weather was good, I was sat there praying, and I looked up and I saw cloud formations almost carved into shapes. And one I saw was three of a man's face in corners like that. 1, 2, 3. I knew it was a Trinity because they were all the same. And God said to me through that, I heard his voice. You know what he said? We, not I, we are coming again on clouds. See, clouds in Revelation are connected to the Lord Jesus and the Trinity. And it's important that God will use nature to speak to us. I know that because I can testify to it. Another time I was in a house group. There were about 15 people there in the place called Dingwall. It's in Scotland. We had an American guest. While worshipping and praying, I had my hands out, and suddenly a breeze came over my hands. We were in an inner room in a bungalow, and I said to Paul, who owned the place, "Have you left any doors or windows open?" He says, "Oh," he said, "of course not. They're all shut." He said, "There's nothing in here. The one tiny window in the corner were bolted down." And then it happened again. And I think the Holy Spirit was confirming it. "It's me. You-who." So I had this come over and I heard God speak. He said, "Go over to that American because he's in turmoil and worried." So I obeyed. I went over and laid hands on him and prayed. God said to me, "Pray peace into this man's heart." And I did. And you know what? He looked up and said, "Boy, I needed that." I think God's got a sense of humour because there was a wry smile on his face and on mine. I knew it was the gentle prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listen, folks, to the gentle, still small voice, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If he's going to be real in your life, he's a real person, he's a personality, he's a he, not an it, you can communicate with him and he'll communicate with you. He'll guide you into all truth. Do you believe it? Are you doing it? In Acts 5:32, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Yeah, isn't there? Obedience. We listen and obey. There's no other way. Number 5, Holy Spirit as teacher. He will guide you into all truth, John 16:13. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. This is the Trinity cooperating. He took what Jesus had said. Okay? Jesus handed that responsibility to the Holy Spirit and he declared it. Marvellous working, isn't it? Marvellous. It's our privilege, folks, to be taught directly by the Holy Spirit and through anointed preachers. We don't do away with anointed preachers. I've sat before some men who were the most godliest men I've ever met. I mean, these guys prayed for a quarter of an hour with the three O's. To start with, omnipotent, omnipresent, what's the other, omniscient. And then it went on for a quarter of an hour in this little chapel, a Calvinistic chapel it was. And I went there, Pauline took me there, for a whole year to sit before these four men, four just men, who came out with wonderful gems. They built me up. They even sent us a card to our wedding in Oxford, bless them. And it taught me tremendous lessons. If you don't know, and I'm talking a foreign language about the Holy Spirit, if there's something you don't really know or you've not got a relationship with him, then I've got a scripture for you. It's one of my favourites. James 4:7. Submit yourselves first to God. How about that? Submitting yourself to God before you do anything. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Promise, but you take promises by faith, by believing it. Summary. Is that summary? This is nearly the end of this talk, but I'm just going to look at this. Regeneration. Have you been regenerated? Have you got newness of life within you? Adoption. Has God adopted you? Do you know God? Are you a son and daughter of the living God? is a sealer. Has he sealed you with the Holy Spirit? See, all other seals are external. This seal is internal. God puts his mark on you internally. It's not some external thing. It's not in your brain either, in your intellect. You can be an Einstein, I couldn't care less. God looks to the simple things. His indwelling. You know, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3:16, as well as 1 Corinthians 6:19. There are two versions, because one's plural, the other's singular. One is talking about individuals, the other is talking about collectiveness or corporateness, the church. Number four, he has a voice. Have you heard his voice lately? I used to sing a song at that interval. Have I told you lately that I love you? And I used to say to my wife, and I still do, have I told you lately I love you? Of course, Pauline laughs with that little chuckle. But I mean it. Isn't it pleasant when somebody says, have I told you lately that I love you? It's a song. It's a song. They're all songs. He has a voice. Listen to that voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Listen to it. And then immediately, don't put all the whys and wherefores through this grey matter, because you'll get nothing. Back to the flesh. Zilch. And obey it immediately. I used to know somebody who had a great healing ministry. And he always used to say that when somebody comes out for healing and you pray for them, if it's say it's a broken arm, he would get the arm, pray over it in Jesus' name, and then move it. And he said, move it, move it. Run up and down. So I went to preach at my son's church about 18 years ago now. And I were preaching on a healing at the, what did they call that? There's water, and they lower them into the water. The first person that gets in, the angel heals them. Now, I don't know how much that, I'm not going to go into whys and wherefores of that. But he used to say, do it immediately, so they haven't got time to think. And you know, so I went to our James's church, and I preached on this, and then I said, if anybody here is sick, you can come out. Well, there are all these droves of people. And this bloke, I always remember him, a tall boy, and he came and he said there was something up, and I said, I'm feeling so good, and he said no. And his arms were hurting, and I got his arms and like this. I said, right, run up and down, and his legs were hurting. And he run length of the church and back again. And he arrived out of press, and I said, any better? Oh, he says, I've never been able to run like that. And I went, oh, thank you, Lord. So you have to put it into action. Here's the final scripture. 2 Peter 1:3 is another favourite of mine. His divine power. Who's the divine power? The Holy Spirit has given us everything we need for godliness and life. There's nothing new as a Christian that God has not given you for the godly life, real life, abundant life in John 10. I've come to give you abundant life. Not just life, but abundance. Life in abundance to enable you to do. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. Lovely clause, isn't it? You've got to know him. He's not going to give you goodies if you don't know him. Who called us by his own glory and goodness. Amen.